You're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. I'm your host, Winston Crutchfield. Thanks for tuning in with us this week. Today, I've got Curtis and Drew sitting around the coffee table with me. We are kvetching about The Hunger Games, the best-selling series of novels by Suzanne Collins. And if you have succumbed to the hype and have read these books, then you understand exactly why we are kvetching. If not, well, get you a cup of coffee, kick back, and relax, because we're going to tell you all about them and who they were written for and who should be reading them, and most importantly, who should not be reading them. There will be spoilers as we talk about the entirety of the series, but you will have ample warning and the magic of podcasting before we get into anything that is really going to spoil the surprises of the plot for you. So hang around and then come back and see me again next week. I got a great interview lined up with Nathan James Norman. Look forward to then.
Okay, Drew. Episode 2, while I got you in the house.
Oh, no.
Hunger Games.
Oh, God.
Hunger Games. You haven't read these, Kurt?
Nope. Okay. You told me about them. That's it.
Told you about them. I read the first book. I listened to the next two on audio. Drew, did you read any of them?
No. My actual reading time is limited to listening to audiobooks while I'm in the car driving to and from working to clients.
Okay. So, most of our experience is the audio version, which is unfortunate because Catherine McCormick is not a great performer.
No.
The experience would have been greatly enhanced by a more skillful reading of the material.
Not necessarily, well, yeah, okay.
Yes.
More enthusiastic.
Animated, emotional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Instead of dead voice.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Having said that, the book, I actually physically read the first book, and it was just really fast-paced and easy to read, driving, compelling novel. And for those who don't know what The Hunger Games is about, in the far future, the world of North America has become the city-state, the nation of Pan Am. It is ruled by the capital and divided up into 13 districts. Each district is focused on a particular
a type of living. Agriculture, yeah. Industrial, fishing,
you're right.
Et
cetera. Sometime in the past, there was a rebellion against the capital, and District 13 was leveled. They just firebombed the crap out of it, and District 13 is gone. Every year since then, each of the districts has been required to send one girl and one boy between the ages of 12 and 18, randomly chosen from the populace, to compete in the annual Hunger Games. These children are placed into an arena where they fight to the death. And the winner gets goods and provisions for their district until the next Hunger Games. And it sounds very dystopian. It sounds very cool. Sounds like the kind of thing that, you know, sci-fi guys like us could get into.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't sound much different from Douglas Hill books like the Legionary series.
I was going to say, Douglas Adams, I can't...
Yeah, that's Hitchhiker's Guide. Very different from Hitchhiker's Guide. Or, you know, and in Execution, it sounds very similar to shows like the Running Man.
Uh-huh.
I mean, technically, the book was pretty good, even though in the third book, there were a couple of points where I'm like, really, doesn't this lady have an editor?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever.
Is the book series the number one bestseller?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that explains the board game. I saw a Big Bang.
Oh, yeah. There's a movie in the works. There's tchotchkes and toys coming out. Oh, yeah. You can buy the Hunger Games medallion to show that you're part of the rebellion.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I had it when I took my niece to Big Bang. She goes, is there any Twilight Games?
No.
You don't have any at that time. You know, the one other good thing about this was that nobody sparkled. Didn't they wear glitter?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
let me just say, yeah. Vampires do not
sparkle.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Hunger Games, it was a good book if you're a teenage girl or have ever been a teenage girl, which none of us have.
Mm-mm, no. No.
So, Yeah. Other than that, I mean, technically it was fairly well done. I'll give her that. She hit all of the points that she needed to make a well-constructed book. Mm-hmm. It wasn't my book. It wasn't a book written for me. Okay. It wasn't a book really written for anyone I know.
It was written for the target audience that would love Twilight.
That's exactly what I was about to say. It's a book for the Twilight fans.
That's basically the premise. And the first book deals with that in depth, and then books 2 and 3 deal with the fallout of what happens when, predictably, the heroine of the book wins the Hunger Games.
Right.
Now she has to deal with all the other crap. Huh?
Now she has to deal with everything. Yes, exactly.
She went in.
And book 2 is primarily concerned with her attempting to allay the wrath of the Capitol from coming in and destroying her family and the people she loves.
She won.
Because she won. The way in which she wins, and should we spoil this? Is it worth spoiling?
Spoiler alert, because I'm pretty sure none of you have actually read or are going to read this book.
That's the crucial question. Are our listeners going to want to read this? Are we going to tell them to read this series? I'm not.
I'm not.
Okay. In that case, if you desire to read The Hunger Games, do so now, and then come back. We'll wait.
And now,
through the magic of technology, now that you've read the books and you know what happened, at the end of that... told you they were fast reads.
Apparently so.
At the end of The Hunger Games, the heroine, whatever her name is, that's not a good sign when
you can't remember
the main character's name, that's not a good sign. Katniss.
Allison. Her name is Katniss, and she, like her sister, were named after plants.
Katniss wins the Hunger Games by teaming up. Midway through the games, the Capitol makes an announcement. This year, we can have 2 winners.
Ooh.
If they are both from the same district. Ooh. And to this point, her mentor in the games has been grooming her and the boy from the district to act as a team, to present themselves as a team, because the whole thing's televised on live TV, okay? And the boy who goes in with her, named PETA, which I thought was a futuristic corruption of Peter,
that's what I thought too.
Yeah, apparently it's not. According to the author, she likes pita bread.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Seriously, she named him after a bread?
Yes, she named him after the pita bread. So, yeah, and if that doesn't tell you everything you need to know, right there.
I really wish I hadn't listened to the rest of those stories.
Right.
Oh my lord, have mercy.
And he confesses his love for her in front of the entire nation. So she gets a better reception going into the games. She gets sponsors that give her equipment and food and stuff, so that she does better in the games and can live longer. When they make the announcement, she finds the boy and teams up with him and saves his life, and they have a whole romantic scene in the jungle where she's learning to care about him, and he confesses his love to her. And at the end of the thing, after everybody else is dead, the announcer comes on and says, "Well, no, we can't do it. One winner only." And she says, "No, I can't do it, PETA. I can't go on without you." And they do Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah,
where
they're getting ready to take poison berries.
Yeah, they're
both of them at the same time. And then they
have them in their mouths. They are chewing them up. And the guy comes on. You know, the announcer comes on. "No, no, no! Wait! We have to have a winner. We have to have a winner for the Hunger Games. You both win." And that sets in motion
books 2 and 3,
because it provides a nascent underground with a focal point that says, look, the Capitol can be defied.
Oh my god.
That's the basis that they...
Who defines? They just played Survivor, the real game.
Well,
yeah.
I don't remember if he mentioned it in his run-up on this. The Capitol has a
extreme imperialistic iron hand
yeah.
Over absolutely everybody. Nobody defies them.
So with that,
yeah, it's a dystopian future.
Yeah.
So let's make sure that gets reinforced for the listeners.
Yeah, you know what? That doesn't really come out in the books. I mean, they say it.
Basically, they're pissed off the way she won, the way she got the popularity that
exactly.
they didn't want her to get.
Exactly.
Bingo.
That's exactly what's going on. So in book two, they take her and they parade her around to the districts to show that she's supporting the capital. The victory tour.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what it is, the victory tour.
And the whole point of the Hunger Games and the point of the tour is to say, see, the capital provides for you, the capital rules you, you cannot defy the capital. Mm-hmm. And she screws the pooch royally on the victory tour.
Uh-oh.
Because, you know, he's like, well, you've got to play up this romance with this kid that you brought through the Hunger Games, even though she says, well, I'm not actually in love with him. I love this other kid, this hunter from home that is my best friend. He's like, no, you have to be out here. So she spends the whole thing sleeping with him, and they're doing it discreetly. He sneaks into her cabin, or she sneaks into his cabin, and they hold each other. The whole thing's written from the first person, so they're not implying something that doesn't happen. But they spend the whole all night holding each other and fighting away the nightmares from their trials in the Hunger Games. And every time she opens her mouth to try and allay the fears of the people in the district and support the capital, she does something wrong. Or what's worse is PETA does. Because PETA doesn't know what's going on. And her and her mentor are elected to just keep him out of the loop because he's best when he's genuine and this kind of thing.
Yeah, you know something screws it all up.
It ends with her and PETA going back into the next annual Hunger Games. Doesn't ever happen. Once you win the Hunger Games, you're done.
Yeah. But the Capitol, to get rid of Katniss, says, this year's Quarter Quell, which every 25 years...
They do something special. They're like...
And this is it.
They say,
this year's Quarter Quell will be
drawn from
the entirety of all of the winners of all the previous
Hunger Games.
And she's the one that...
She's the only girl from her district. Her district hasn't had a winner in 25 years.
Yeah, so, of course she's picked.
Yeah. So
they get
then while she's
capital.
In there doing the Hunger Games, she teams up with some other people, and they get broken out by the rebels. And that's where book two ends.
And
book
rebel.
Three all deals with the rebellion and...
Tina Grillin wanted and all that crap.
They come to find out that District 13
is still populated. All of the propaganda that's been coming out of there...
It's all lies.
Yeah, it's all lies. And so the underground has been surviving in District 13 all this time, and they want to use Katniss and her image
poster child.
Yes.
She's the poster child.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what happens.
She becomes a figurehead warrior.
See, the thing is, District 13 is so regimented, and they are under such deprivation that the social conditions in 13 are every bit as tyrannical as the capital.
But nobody seems to realize it.
Well, it's...
They live by it by choice.
They don't... The difference is that the capital has plenty. Mm-hmm. You know, the capital is luxury and District 13 doesn't.
Yeah.
So they get to say that, you know, we're being like this because we're being oppressed. So,
you know... Survive.
Yeah, and if, whereas the Capitol says, if you defy us, you're a rebel and a traitor and all this, District 13 says, if you don't do what we say, then you're a traitor to the cause, and the lives of all these people depend on you, so you've got to go.
Pull your later,
and
everybody.
Midway through Book 3, they do all this stuff, and Book 3 deals with a lot of interaction between her and between Katniss and PETA, who was captured by the Capitol and tortured and brainwashed.
That's
they get him back.
and Gale, her hunter friend, her best friend growing up. Between those three, the love triangle going on there.
Yay.
And then, oh my god. My head was gonna explode.
Yeah, it was.
And then when they go in, instead of giving us a Hunger Games, they storm the Capitol.
Mm.
And when Katniss and her team storms the Capitol, they notice that the defenses of the Capitol and the point that where they're going to be invading, where all the battles and stuff will be decided, is laid out like a Hunger Games arena. And it was designed by the Hunger Games
game
makers.
Huh.
And so we get a third Hunger Games for the third book. And, of course, they go through, and people around her die and everything. Of course, she doesn't die, and Peeta doesn't die, and Gale doesn't die.
Because
in order for her choice between the two to have any meaning at all three of them have to make it through the thing alive. But you get to the climax of the thing where they're ready to storm the gates, and all of the action is abruptly taken out of Katniss's hands. Where up until now, she has been the focal point of all the action, and she's been responsive to what's going on, when all of a sudden, at the moment where it counts, Katniss is on the scene of a bombing, and her little sister, a 13-year-old girl, who is sent in with paramedic teams, even though she's not of age to be sent in into the war zone or anything like that. She's sent in with paramedic teams and to aid some bombing victims, and a second wave of bombs goes off and kills her sister, which was her motivating factor
to go into the game
from the very beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Katniss spends the conclusion of the war in the Burn Ward. And, I mean, that choice right there to rob the reader of the conclusion of the war, you know, the actual combat scene conclusion of the war.
Wow,
I absolutely hate it.
That book.
And then
for
the,
that reason.
Yeah, and then everything after that is Katniss recovering and sorting out her feelings and until they get the trial of the Capitol president. And the president of 13 comes in and assembles the survivors from her squad and the other Hunger Games and is like, well, here's what's been decided. We have decided that there's not enough punishment to go around for the Capitol. We have two choices. We can execute all Capitol citizens in restitution for the way they've treated the districts all these years, or we can hold a final Hunger Games using the children of the important people in the Capitol who are still alive, including the Capitol president. Yeah, and everybody around the table is like, you have got to be kidding. They're all the remaining Hunger Games survivors. They're like, you're kidding, right? And they're like, no, we're dead serious. Now, at this point in time, up to this point, Katniss has been thinking about the bombing that killed her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And she got some other information from reliable sources that says that the bombing that killed her sister, that ended the war, was done by District 13 on the president's orders. As a demonstration to end the war.
Mm-hmm.
Alright? And to put this in perspective, the situation was the president had surrounded his last fortress, his home, with children.
Human shield.
Human shield. Children. Then a Capitol hovercraft drives by and drops packages, goodie bags, into the children. They
and
open
everybody
them up.
Knows that these goodie bags that are directly from the arena.
Yeah.
And they bring good things.
Their presents.
So there's no reason
why... Their food or supplies.
Yeah,
or,
food, supplies, good stuff. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. Bye-bye.
Half a dozen of them, maybe a dozen of them, explode. The rebels, by this point, have won the war. All that's left is the president and his mansion. Their medics go in along with her little sister. Once the medics are in and among the populace, boom, wipes them out. Everybody out, wipes out everybody. So that was the impetus. And Katniss discovers, or has very good reason to believe, that the president of 13 ordered this. And, you know, then she's telling her that now you're going to do a Hunger Games. Oh, and by the way, you guys get the decision. Execute everybody in the Capitol, or hold another Hunger Games, we're going to tell all the districts that the new government does this with your approval. Yeah, and she's like, well, the deal for me doing all this was that I get to execute the president of the Capitol. Do I still get to do that? Fine, we'll hold the Hunger Games, we'll do it for my sister. And, you know, her friend PETA is like, no, we can't do that, it's inhumane! And the deciding vote falls to her mentor, who's been helping her achieve all this stuff, and he looks at her, he's like, okay, Katniss, for Prim. And they give her the weapon, and they have the president of the Capitol tied up on stage, and then the president of 13 presents the ceremony. Oh, and at the last minute, yeah, she assassinates the president of 13. And the Capitol president is killed in the crush. And
of course.
She gets assigned to, they throw her into a rubber room, and it ends with, they finally declare that she was psychotic and all this stuff, and they ship her back to
her district.
Her district, and just things essentially go back to the way they were before the rebellion.
Without the sister.
Yeah. With a lot of people dead, and that's basically the only difference. They have traded one tyrannical government for another tyrannical government.
This is all happening.
And they don't have the all happen again. And now they don't have the Hunger Games, because after the president's assassination, they...
Done!
You know, no more Hunger Games, but whatever.
It's done!
Anyway, that was a long summation.
Damn!
And it really did suck. The high point of the book and the conclusion was the assassination of the president of 13, at which point I'm like, find a freaking leap!
Yeah. You know, you're right. It was a long summation, but... The first book was good. It was enjoyable, like you said, very fast-paced. You know,
should have left it there.
Kind of,
that's what happens when an author signs a contract with a company to produce more than one book.
Yeah. but they know the problem.
Number one. To me, the ending of three, where, you know, it said it took the action out of her hands.
It was almost
like Susan Collins just kind of got lazy and said, I really don't want to finish.
See, that's not what's going on. Suzanne Collins is an excellent screenwriter. She's got 19 years worth of television and movie screenwriting under her belt, okay? She knows what she's doing. The problem is that we hated this book because it's not our book. It's chick lit.
Well,
it's chick literature.
Y'all read chick books, huh?
It's... Dude, I read Harlequin, not romances, okay?
I know.
And I will admit that on the air. But no, this is teenage chick lit. Chick lit was violent.
Yeah.
And the important things in the story to Suzanne Collins and to her target audience, even though she didn't know this was her target audience, it's not the violence, it's not the political change, it's not any of these things that we focus on that we won't show about.
It's the romance.
The emotional ride. Exactly. It's the emotional ride that Katniss goes on.
Yeah. And highs, lows, and then dirt bottom.
They're great books. If you're a teenage girl, or a, you know, 20-something woman.
Yeah. Or a Lifetime fan.
Oh, my God.
Because the men weren't the heroes, they were the...
No, the men weren't the heroes.
They were the...
And, it, you know, that's
guys.
Very... They were made the bad
she
guys.
Had the
In
mentor.
Fact, the trap that killed her sister was designed by her friend Gale, the hunter. Yeah, and she confronts him about it. She's like, did you know that's what was going to happen? Did you know my sister would be there? He's like, does it matter?
Ooh.
Because at one point in the book, he is the violent hunter. He is portrayed as the violent, hard killer.
The one
at
can
one
do
point,
the kill.
He wants to win the war. He's like, look, we can bomb this mountain, drop the whole thing, if all we have to do is be willing to write off this district entirely. The Capitol would do it.
Yeah, why not we? But we're not the Capitol.
Yeah, but And PETA is a baker and an artist. He is not a fighter. He is not violent. His strong points are his open, sensitive, giving heart. And of course she winds up with PETA at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and we could go on into the fantastically unhealthy relationships that these people have. But it's Suzanne Collins has done for military sci-fi what the chick who wrote Eclipse, Twilight Saga,
oh, dear did God.
For yeah, did for supernatural horror. Okay.
That took its balls.
Yeah, pretty much so.
The problem is, we went into the books expecting them to be...
Which is why I got the feeling that, you know, that ending was a lazy ending. It wasn't...
It's really not.
No, you're right, it probably isn't. That was just the feeling that came across to me, because it didn't end the way I...
You're just not the target audience.
No, I'm not.
I'm not either.
We used to read, the battle ends, you know.
Yeah.
The battle ends in a certain way.
You're used to the protagonist being proactive.
Oh, yeah, going all the way, gets wounded, then we have the epilogue, which tells about healing and stuff.
You're right, that's done in the epilogue, not the last quarter of the entire book. That was spent way too much time on it. So that's why I said it was lazy, because I got robbed of what I wanted.
Exactly. All right. That about wraps it up. I wanted to get your opinion, but I guess it turns out that I really just wanted to unload.
My opinion is pretty much the same as your opinion on it. It technically was good, you know, constructed, you know, start to finish, no problem. Just unfortunately not a target, not a book for this target.
Give me a book by John Ringo any day.
Mac Bolan, I want the... Hey, I got two new Mac Bolan books front of me. I'm getting ready to start. No, I can't take this anymore. We need something healthier. What do you guys want, the Expendables or Megafrana?